Matt Donald here, folks. Worst microphone alert, because my microphone I normally use to record this is currently still packed in luggage in my car from a trip I recently went on, and I need to get this out quickly, so the microphone from my webcam, it is so very, very professional. And what am I going to do with this worst quality that gives new listeners their first impression of this wonderfully professional and sophisticated show? Well, I want you to subscribe to my Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, where we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, sometimes in flimsy ways, sometimes in ways that are a bit of a stretch. And this month, it's the most wonderful time of year, not Christmas, hell no, not Christmas. It is time for our annual Pacific Rim episode, because the dinosaurs were implied to be kaiju in that universe, and that movie is so god dang awesome that I want to talk about it all the time with everyone every year, and that's what we do. So check that out, as well as another episode about Jurassic World the game on the phone. That'll come out soon. It was meant to come out last month, but, you know, life. Christmas, holidays, you know, the holiday season. Hard time for everyone. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a good day!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that, like the trilobites in the Permian, is due to die at any moment now. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I had a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by someone who, like me, hopefully is not due to die at any moment now. We're both going to live long and healthy lives, us youngins. it's Alan Brooks. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm also doing wonderful. It's a nice winter day when we're recording here.
Nice, cozy house.
You're in Washington, right?
Yeah, I'm in Washington. You're in Colorado, so
yeah.
The wonders of technology.
Indeed. Oh, we're just recording. Watch this. I was about to say, watch this. Eventually, we'll get it to the point where people can record podcasts where someone's on Earth and someone's on the moon. But actually, that wouldn't work because there'd always be at least a 2-second delay.
Editing for the win.
Yeah, well, I know, but you'd have to wait. You have to wait like 2 seconds each time to get the other person's response.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I guess, look, okay, that's doable. Mars, though, not doable.
No. Mars is 15 to like 45 minutes if you can even hear them.
Any Martian podcast must be done with both co-hosts on Mars.
Yep.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I remember actually one time I was joking on this podcast with Laura. I forgot how we got to this joke with this bit. We're talking about how, oh, we were recording from Biodome on Mars. It's like, oh, we've been here for 7 years. We're getting a bit of cabin fever here. I was saying, like, I tried to go on a date with this girl. It didn't work out, and I'm rapidly running out of options.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's only, like, 50 of us here.
Good for a short period of time.
Yeah, before you go a bit insane. It's like, but the biodome's great, and it apparently has a recording studio. So,
yep.
Oh man, that's always a fun topic about, like, if we ever get around to discovering. I wonder if we eventually proved that there was life on Mars. Like, we have fossils of it. Obviously, it'd be extinct now. But if there was life on Mars, would it be fun? Could I cover it on Paleobites?
How would you even write the species name for that?
I don't know. But, like, it's a prehistoric animal, but no one said anything about Earth, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Astropaleontology, like astrobiology. So.
Wow. That's a niche study, period.
Astrobiology on its own is probably already a niche term, but apparently it exists.
Paleontology.
Astropaleobiology or paleontology, yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Nothing about that. We've got enough weird animals on Earth. Like, for example, Ambulocetus. So.
Yeah. Okay, true. Yeah, they did look fairly weird, though. There has been weirder.
Flawless segue. So,
yeah.
It means walking whale, which makes sense. Amble, like ambling along. So.
Cetus for whale.
Yes, of course. Time is a cetacean, a group of artiodactyl mammals that includes dolphins and whales. Like this was a whale. At least this one swam a lot, unlike Pachycetus. And from what you were gathering, it might have swum constantly. So,
yeah. they're basically talking about some studies where they're thinking, could it actually have walked on land, or were the...
So was the walking whale actually not walking at all? It's a...
Welcome to the wonderful world of biologists, where, quite frankly, there are arguments everywhere. We're paleontologists especially because they have so little information to go on, but... Mm-hmm. Apparently one of the things that they talk about in biology is, if you're wondering why everything seems so confusing, it's because everyone is constantly trying to puzzle things together into these artificial boxes of how
right.
do
well,
we
it's like boxes,
things.
It's like constantly working on a puzzle that we will never have all the pieces for, which sounds like the most frustrating thing in the world.
And all the pieces are like multidimensional, and you may find that some of the pieces you may think go here have better way to put it is, if you're doing this on geological times period, your puzzle pieces will actively change, and occasionally they will multiply.
Oh, that's true. Oh,
that
man.
Sounds like a headache. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I could never do it. I just like taking the knowledge that they have already compiled so nicely together for all of us and talking about that rather than trying to figure out any of this knowledge on my own. So that's why, even though I'm very much a hardcore fan of dinosaurs, I still kind of consider myself a casual, because I'm not a professional and I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
So I'm just a very hardcore casual fan of dinosaurs and prehistoric animals. So
still say one of the things you should have on your bucket list is actually go participate in a dinosaur dig.
That sounds like hell. Going out in the middle of the Badlands, like, where there's no Taco Bell in sight. It's out in the hot sun. You gotta operate heavy machinery.
Actually, I would really doubt the heavy machinery. It's probably more like you lay on your stomach with a brush, or like a toothbrush, and a little tiny rock hammer, and very patiently work on something.
Well, because, like, one of the whales, which I've done an episode on earlier, Perucetus, it took so long to get those vertebrae out, like, years and years and years of constant work. So imagine, like, the 9-to-5 workday of those paleontologists, like, okay, for 9-to-5, we're going to get a very tiny bit of this vertebrae.
1 centimeter of this vertebrae.
Out of the cliff. No, thank you.
Wait, thinking maybe they would, it's less of pulling it out of the cliff and more of, gonna have to double check this, but maybe they pull big rock out of the cliff, then they put it in a lab and someone sits at a desk
and they're like, wait a minute, there's something in here.
Well, yeah, they would know there's something in there because they have it exposed, but
right
to carve out the entire bone, you could probably sit on a desk with your rock and your plink 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 scrub scrub scrub
yep.
plink plink
yep
plink,
no
scrub,
no it makes
scrub,
sense
scrub.
No, a lot of the work is done in museums for sure, like it's like, doesn't necessarily, when I say like, oh, it's out in the hot sun, it's not really out in the hot sun constantly. There's a lot of excavation out there, but then when it's excavated out here, then the real meticulous work is done in a nice air-conditioned lab. So like,
all right,
so anyways, size Ambulocetus is 10 feet/3 meters long, 550 to 1,100 pounds, 250 to 500 kilograms. It was a carnivore, time early Eocene, 48 to 47 million years ago. Location, Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very much like Pakistan, that seems to be where the whales originated from.
Yep.
It was described in 1994. Pop culture appearances, Walking with Beasts is probably its most famous depiction, even though they had to swim all the way to Germany for some reason. That guy must have been really, really lost.
Wait, they have it take place in Germany?
Because that episode does not... Because sort of like how in the last episode we were talking about, where this formation doesn't seem to have a lot in it. They're like, okay, so we're going to have this episode take place not in Pakistan because there's not a lot of animals in it, but in the German, like, flats and, like, the German clay pits, whatever, where there's actually a lot of creatures. And we're just going to say this creature is, like, swam up river, a river, a newcomer, so we could feature it somehow.
Dang.
Guess there's the way to wrap
Okay, sorry,
it.
I'm just stunned at the idea of that kind of travel. It's like, that kind of migration, I'd expect out of birds, not a swim. Though.
That's why I say it was lost. It kept, like, changing the rivers. It kept taking the wrong turn on the rivers and ended up getting all the way over there. So,
must have been like Bugs Bunny. Took the wrong turn.
Not Albuquerque, but Istanbul, I guess, at this point. Well, I guess it was before the 1930s when they changed it to... So it would have been Constantinople, of course.
Yeah. but dang, I'd be lost. But they did actually, yes, have it occur appear in Walking with Beasts, though.
Yes.
I do believe you had some disagreements on its behavior, where that thing was basically a...
Very much like a crocodile hunting
wildebeest. It was a mammalian crocodile.
Yeah.
Where it would basically sit
in
the
water.
We think
it might have been... It might have been better at, like, hunting fish and other sort of aquatic creatures, so... Particularly if, as we get into later, it wasn't really good at, like, using its feet anyways, so... but yeah, so it also was in the PBS documentary. It was previously shown as a skeleton in the PBS documentary Great Transformations. But those are its two major pop culture appearances. So,
what were
these?
Yeah, I'm like, this is the first time I've ever heard of these.
I go to another website called Dinopedia that often has a really good list of, when you look up an animal, it's like it usually has a pretty good list of whatever pop culture something appears in, and it's pretty... Sometimes you get some pretty weird examples, so...
Wow. Of course, there is one you forgot to mention.
What? Of...
Jurassic
what did I forget
Park
to mention?
The game?
Oh, that's right, of course. I mean, even though I don't think it's in Jurassic Park the game, but they're all in Jurassic Park the game, so it's in Jurassic Park
they
the game.
They all are.
So... Oh, man. So, But yeah, Ambulocetus, it means walking whale. But if we think it walked, it might have been more like a sea lion. And sea lions barely walk when they're on land.
Well, like, sea lions walk. It's seals that are just like, yeah, you're a couple of limbs short of being a slug. Thank you very much.
That's true.
A very big, noisy slug.
There are.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of Banjo-Kazooie, when you go with the walrus guy and he's like, arr.
So, that is actually a very... That's a fairly debated topic, because it's very much, how much could this guy actually walk? Because contrary to belief,
it
may not have actually
walked a lot.
Walked. However, it does talk about it perhaps swam less like a what you would consider as a whale, where its big tail fluke go up down in the water, and instead would have used its feet. As its
well, it's like it's still its back is going up, is undulating up and down, but it's not just the tail fluke, because I don't think it had a tail fluke.
No,
it kicked and it used its tail like that, so it still did the same sort of motion, but just had the addition of limbs instead of a tail fluke.
Yeah.
So also, it's kind of funny. So the full scientific name of this thing is Ambulocetus natans. Natans means swimming, so the full name is walking swimming whale.
Well, you got that right. And again, definitely a carnivore. You take one look at any of the reconstructions of...
Look at those teeth, man.
Ambulocetus' teeth and... Mean-looking teeth.
Yeah, it's got those big, thick, sort of conical
big
teeth.
Big conical teeth.
Conical, that's the word,
long,
yes.
Long jaw. First thing I think of is this thing is probably less... I don't know. It could potentially, if it was opportunistically, ambush prey, because it does have carnassials in the back of its jaw. You know, the kind of the carnivore molar analog sort of thing. I'm probably sure there's someone who's going to lecture me about it, but it's the closest we can have to...
You're not getting this right. Palobite's not getting it right. Information right. How dare it?
Yeah. But long teeth, they do... Yeah, long, sort of sharp... Long, sharp teeth, semi-conical, semi... Curve does have carnassial, so...
Interestingly, too, most modern toothed whales only have one type of tooth, but Ambulocetus had a few different types, sort of like more other mammals, so...
More...
They were heterodonts rather than homodonts, so... they still had the canines, and rather than... And they still have the premolars, so... But, like, if you look at, like, other whales, like, if you look at, like, a sperm whale, for instance, it only has... Not only does it only have the same sort of teeth all throughout its jaw, it only has its teeth in the lower jaw.
Yeah.
So. But considering the fact that that sucker goes after giant squid, and they're not exactly known for their bones or...
Yeah, I could.
Things.
I feel like I could chew on a squid.
Yeah. My advice for that is go find a bouncy ball and start chewing on it. That's the best way to describe it.
I'll just have some calamari instead.
Yeah. But they're going to be very rubber. But yes, this thing probably had both, I would say. I mean, trying to say that something only ate fish.
Oh, no. Like, animals are opportunists.
Animals
like,
are opportunists.
Also, Even to the point of, like, saying, oh, animals are herbivores and carnivores, there have been reports of, like, deer, like, not necessarily killing, but when there's a carcass, they'll, like, lick the blood a bit just to get some iron.
They will eat some of the carcass. Not too much. It's not their predominant thing. Yeah. But, yeah, deer will gnaw on a carcass if it's available.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of deer and whales, do you know that the orca is one of the biggest, was the most prominent predators of the moose?
Have these orcas learned to fly? Now that's a terrifying thought.
No, in Alaska. So there are parts where in Alaska the moose would cross from island to island. And they'd go in the ocean. And moose are actually amazing swimmers. Not only can they swim just up the top, they can also swim deep.
Wait, like diving? Like,
yeah, they dive.
Whoa.
So they swim from island to island that way, and occasionally some of them get picked off by orcas.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest predator of the moose? Is it wolf? Is it a bear? No, it's an orca.
One thing you would never expect. So yeah, I could totally imagine the Ambulocetus going after fish.
Mm-hmm.
Going
after like lizards, like sea lizards, just swimming lizards or crocodiles, maybe smaller crocodilians,
like, mammals,
anything that was trying to swim across
at the shoreline.
Yeah.
So we talked about how the Pachycetus had its eyes on the top, but its nose on the front. Did the Ambulocetus's nostrils get to the top of its head by this point?
Let me check. Hold on. It looks like the eyes were definitely still close to the top, but the end of the holotype snout is missing, so...
Oh, gosh.
It's unclear actually how long it would be. If you look at, like, the picture there on the thing, you see that, well, part of it is red and yellow. That's the part they filled in.
Oh, boy. So they're
see that
guessing.
Skull picture on the... Yeah.
Still doesn't detract from big teeth.
Big, no, it definitely has big teeth. Yeah, so... But I'm assuming, yeah, based on where we can find the nostril, that they were starting to get further downward. So
further up on top, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, so, yeah, further up more on top. I mean, yeah, that's right, yeah. Further on top, yeah. So, yeah, and that was one of the transitions with it. And like you said, it swam kind of like an otter. In Walking with Beasts, it, my main problem is that it hunts like a crocodile, but also, it's in Germany, and then it dies. Like, there's a big gas cloud, and everything dies except for a few Leptictidium. So it's like, yeah, you definitely took a wrong turn in Albuquerque, or you took a wrong turn in Constantinople, Ambulocetus.
Yeah. But yeah, considering the fact that they later became, you know, the whales, it couldn't have been that bad of a thing, that bad of a creature.
Oh, no, for sure. Oh, no, to be fair, also, what's interesting about Ambulocetus is that it really is a transitionary fossil, and that for the longest time, we had known of Pachycetus for a little bit, and we had known of, or at least animals like Pachycetus for a little bit, and we had known about Basilocetus, like those, or Basilosaurus. Basilosaurus. We knew about that one for a while, but we never knew the middle one. We knew that whales came from land,
yeah.
And we had some of the early land whales, but we never had any semi-aquatic ones until Ambulocetus.
Yeah.
So
this is very much a...
Very
I was
much
about
a good,
to say Archaeopteryx,
like that puzzle
but
piece.
I'm like, I thought you would get after me that for that, because Archaeopteryx was nothing more than a... Because isn't Archaeopteryx a branch, a kind of... not branch.
It's not a bird. It's not really a drone. It's kind of its own thing.
Okay.
But it's not really related to birds. Like, because, the birds evolved later. Like, Archaeopteryx is just a really good transitionary fossil. I don't think it's part of the Paraves clade, which originally in the Middle Jurassic, and it also includes dromaeosaurs and troodontids and scansoropterygids, which are the ones like Yeechi. But yeah,
not really related to birds.
It's not. It's weird because it's far earlier than all the ones from China, and it's also from a far different place. So,
Convergent
evolution.
Convergent evolution then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, like, like Yi Chi, that was the one that was like a bird, except it was a bat. It was a bat dinosaur.
Okay. You said that name, and
I'm
like...
Do you not know of Yi Chi?
No, I had no idea.
Hold on. I'm going to send you a link on the Discord, and you will have your life thoroughly changed.
Bat dinosaur. That's interesting.
Hold on. In the chat, Yi dinosaur.
Okay. But yeah.
Particularly, look at this picture.
Whoa, that is bat-like.
Yeah, like that. You see the life restoration by Emily Willoughby?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that thing. Imagine the alternate world where those things are the things that evolved into birds, and we all have little dragon things instead of birds.
That'd be cool. But let's talk more about the sea dragon.
Yes, of course, the sea dragon, as in, and not the sea horse relative.
But basically, the Ambulocetus, the king whale.
Yes. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else is there. Because, again, this is Paleobites. There's a lot to talk about we could talk about here. But this is Paleobites. You know, it's not Paleo five-course meal.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, we talked about like, you know, the fact how it swam. We talked about how it might have been on land only a bit, even though it was said it was walking. It's possible, they say, that it might have hunted large mammals that approached the horse water's edge. Including some of the early manatees, like Sirenians, like Pezozyren, which is a creature that, like, although not Pezozyren, because that one's from Jamaica, but that's from that kind of area here. Yeah, so I think we've pretty much covered everything else that we can say. Like, if we want to not go into really deep, big detail about, like, different limbs and, like, the ribs and vertebrae and and, like, you know, of, like, the origins of, like, how it fits in with the rest of it, I think we've covered it. So if you want to learn more, listeners, go to Ambulocetus on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Lots of little more boring things. Of course, we're missing the tip of the nose, which is kind of important for those sorts of things. Rather good size too. What was you said? It was like 300 kilos, 600 pounds.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like maybe even like something upwards of 1,000 pounds or 500 kilos. So
probably the really big ones.
So
how many specimens have they found of this? Because if you're missing,
they've only found the one. I think there's only the one. It's just the one holotype.
Oh gosh. Really so important, but there's only one.
Oh wait, never mind. They found some ones like a premolar and some portions of a femur for excavation. This is the holotype. Okay, never mind. So this is all still the holotype.
Yeah.
Yes, they've only seemed to have found the holotype, and it's from a single specimen. So is what we know of.
Oh boy.
They have found 80% of the skeleton as a whole, though.
Yeah. So we have a good idea of what it looked like. Kind of a very large, very, very carnivorous otter. Though one thing I can say that very much contrasts the otter to Ambulocetus is jaw length. Otters
have nice, cute little jaws.
Little,
because they eat urchins and clams. Like they
got kind of short really noses. Whereas the entire Cetus evolution tends to be focused on long noses, long kind of jaws and
long
snouts,
sort of
thing.
Like, well, like, that seems to be common with aquatic and semi-aquatic animals in general. It's like, you've got crocodiles and spinosaurids, beaked whales, something about those long jaws. Ichthyosaurs, something about those long jaws makes them aquatic.
Yeah.
The other way around. Something about being aquatic makes
a long jaw
have long
really
jaws.
A good advantageous thing. Probably due to extra reach. It's
yes. Oh yeah, for sure. And like snatching up fish, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
It might have. Ambulocetus probably had a. Okay, this is an idea, but they're like, okay, compare the teeth on Ambulocetus versus, say, the Mesozoic marine reptiles. Means it may have had pretty broad opportunity to diet.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because the mosasaurs had teeth that were like they had some teeth in the throat too, as well as on the sides of the jaw. So that poor babysitter in Jurassic World got crunched on pretty hard, not just by the jaw. But
I was
going to
mention that
too.
Whole scene where it actually showed the second what looked like row of teeth in the back of the jaw.
Yeah. So thankfully, this didn't have that, but it was like its own kind of own specialist.
Own specialist thing.
Yeah. In terms of rating it 1 to 65 million, I'm going to give this like a 63 or 4 million. I think it's really, really cool.
It is really cool. But again, back with the Pachycetus, this Amblyocetus is very much a... We're not actually staying here for very long, especially given that we haven't found a whole bunch of them. Sounds like this was very much a transition from the land dwellers to, hey, this ocean stuff is pretty, this water stuff is pretty sweet. Though again, this one is probably more river-based, so...
Yes. Very much so. All right. So
probably not the... Does not have enough room to grow into the giants that they were. Though it is bigger than
Pachycetus. No, because it was more river-based, for sure, yeah. But we'll save that for another time.
Another time.
All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show and contact me personally, you can contact me personally at MatthewDonsCreator.com on Facebook at MatthewDonsCreator, or MatthewDonsCreator on Facebook and MatthewDons64 on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere else. If you want to contact the show, it's PaleobitesPodcast@gmail.com, PaleobitesPod on Twitter, and PaleobitesPodcast on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon Megazog available for print and Kindle. No, and we'll see this once more too early. Or too late. The book was too early, and you'll see this was too late.
And we'll see this far too late. Far too late.
Far too late. Although, no, about 20 million years.
20 million years.
So
that does give the idea of just how fast mammals decided
to
invade the water.
Just a bit, yeah. So, yeah. All right, well, that's it for this week. Let's say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. What's more?
If you want to contact me, just get a hold of Matthew.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
relay whatever D&D questions you have.
All right, bye. Bye.